Welcome to the House File 1853, Senator Sparks. What's your Senate file? 1653. Conference Committee, we appreciate all of the conferees, the staff folks being here, and all of our interested bystanders and parties that are interested in the Commerce Department's technical bill regarding market assurance, as well as this new version of the data practices bill as well. I thought maybe just for the kind of as a place to get started, and we can, I'm not going to go around do introductions. I think everybody around here knows one another. Since the bill's passed in both the House and the Senate, there's been some discussions that have been going on with lots of folks in the room, and I think we're trying to reflect what people have come to a sense of. I don't know that it's necessarily absolute agreement, but sort of comfort. And we still want to talk about these issues here in the conference committee, but I took the liberty of taking the differences with Mr. Pender's help. We went through and we compared what the differences were between the two bills, I believe it's been passed out now. And I kind of went through and tried to visit with as many folks that had a stake in this stuff and tried to figure out where there was some common ground. I'm not completely certain that that's the case, but there's a couple questions about, for example, the University of Minnesota's provision and some people we want to talk to with regard to that because it wasn't in the House side. But I thought I'd do a quick walkthrough of those 15 points and kind of what I had drafted up for consideration, and then we can take a little, ask some questions and get some comments about it. But starting with number one, we've got the University of Minnesota data on investments. That's in the bill. I know that there's still some remaining questions, so we want to make sure that we hear from you and from the Senate authors or the Senate folks and find out, make sure that we completely understand it. Secondly is insurance agent E&O coverage. That was Representative David's bill, and the Senate added a couple sentences, not controversial. That's in what I'd have proposed, and I think we passed it out as a possible conference committee report resolution. Number three is claims processing. That started out as what we thought was going to be non-controversial. It turned out to be hotly debated, and has I worked with Representative Abler to talk about maybe we can work on this one over the interim a little bit in next session. So we did not include that in the conference committee report. Number four is the Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association, Representative David's bill. That was actually already passed and signed in the Environment Finance Bill, so we did not include it in this proposed conference committee report. Number five is certificates of insurance from separate bill that was in the conference. It was with the Senate version, but it wasn't in the House, so we've included that in sections 18 and 19. Number six is just some insurance notice work regarding homeowners' policies. That is also in the bill. Healthcare clearinghouses, that was Representative Abler's language that became, and I believe that the department had some reservations about it, so we're going to keep working on that. That's not in the conference committee report that I've proposed. Number eight is electronic healthcare claim submission. Senator Scheid was the author of that. It was not in the House bill, with some a little bit more discussion of that item, I believe that one is in and won't be objected to. Number nine is self-insured work comp language. Senate lacked a little bit of what we had and so forth, but it appears that the two bills work well together, so that's been included in Section 45. Number 10 is broker-dealer E&O coverage, Representative David's bill. This just fixed a problem with the House version and added a sentence that was consistent with the Senate's, so that's been included in Section 49. 11 is definition of motor vehicle. That was Representative Holberg's bill. It was 127. It's my understanding that was an inadvertent change made in 2005. This just puts the law back to what it should have been without any problems. That was in Section 56 of the proposed report. Roofing contractor rebates was not in the House and is a little bit of heartburn with respect to it, at least at the current time, so we've not got that in the conference committee report. Number 13 is nonprofit insurance PNC trust. That one was actually passed and signed in another bill, so I've not included that in the proposed conference committee report. Number 14 is business screening regulation. The House doesn't have it, but is interested in it. Would like to hear a little bit more about it. What I've got in the proposed conference committee report would just move the enactment date out a year. And the idea behind that was that we're not the data practices committee. In fact, all of the House conferees are members of the Commerce Committee, and this was a Commerce bill. But you might be able to convince us to hold off on the enactment for a year while you keep working on it and figure out what the real deal is. I want to have more discussion with respect to that one. But that's what the current proposal suggests, is an enactment date that's a year out. And then number 15 is repealer sections, and those are in Section 70 of the Conference Committee report. Thank you for listening to that. I hope that that is somewhat reflective of where folks are at, but I know that on the House side we had a little bit of just kind of getting our heads around the University of Minnesota language. I've been approached actually by a number of House members about that particular topic, so I wanted to make sure that we talked a little bit more about it. As far as the other items and the business screening regulation, are there other items that people think we ought to spend more time on? And those are the two. I suspected with who the Senate conferees were that those might be a couple of some concern. So what I'd like to do then is if we could hear from the university, and I will share with whoever the best representative of the U of M, I will share with you a couple of the questions that I have gotten on the House floor from members that have concerns. It has been Representative Kahn, Representative Carlson, Representative Mullery, Representative Rukavina, have all approached me with some consternation, and I'd like to do our best to address that consternation. Sir, if you'd be kind enough to identify yourself and who you represent, and then we'll ask a couple questions and see if we can't deal with that consternation.
Mr. Chairman, members of the conference committee, my name is Richard Fitzenreiter. I'm the Chief Financial Officer and Treasurer at the University of Minnesota. And this particular provision is one that is important to the university. We invest approximately $1 billion a year. And in that investment, those dollars, the earnings off that investment support scholarship, support chairs at the University of Minnesota, faculty research, et cetera. And this provision is one that we would like to have enacted. It is nearly identical to the current protections enjoyed by the State Board of Investment, except in one or a couple of particular instances. The language provides us with just a tad more protection than that which is enjoyed by the State Board of Investment. And those additional protections, just to be specific, would protect from or make private, that is currently public for the State Board of Investment, but would make private for the University of Minnesota the amount that we've funded in an investment in this particular area. And this relates to venture capital, private equity, real estate partnership, and natural resource partnerships. We would like to have an additional protection for the funded amount, the market value of that investment, the internal rate of return, and the age of that investment in years. Those four provisions are currently public with the State Board of Investment, and we would like those to be private. The reason we would like those four additional protections is because the competition in the funds that we invest in, there are other competing funds that are looking for that information. They can come and get it from us and use it to the disadvantage of the company we've invested in. So as a result, those companies that we have previously invested in are telling us that they will no longer accept investments from the University of Minnesota, and we're getting gradually removed from those opportunities. This is a very important part of our investment portfolio. This returns on average 30% a year for us compared to public stocks in the last 5 years that have returned only 2.5%. So it's an important element in our investment strategy, and we think this is an important item to have in our ability to make investments. And with that, I'll stand for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Fitzenreiter. Are there questions from members of the conference committee at this point? I do have one other question shared with me by actually Representative Carlson. As I understand it, Mr. Iverson explained to me, Mr. Fitzenreiter, the U wants the opportunity to invest in the VC type firms. There's also the possibility that they then take an interest or may have some interest in products, investments, discoveries at the University of Minnesota.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that's exactly right. When we can get people like Sequoia or Charles River Venture or Kleiner Perkins or Excel or Matrix, which are some of the top performing investment opportunities in the country, when they come to visit us, because we invite them here, we have an opportunity to showcase Minnesota as well. And they also then, while they're in town, go meet with faculty, meet with the vice president of research, because they're looking for opportunities to make investments in Minnesota. If we don't have a relationship or a partnership with them, they simply aren't going to stop in Minnesota. And I might add that there's a bill moving through the legislature, a decision about the state participating in some infrastructure investments in Elk Run in southern Minnesota outside Rochester. And in fact, one of the venture capital firms involved in that wants to make an investment is Sequoia, and it's in fact one of the firms that's booting the University of Minnesota out of its opportunity to make an investment with them because of the FOIA regulations.
Mr. Fitzenreiter, it's specific to Representative Carlson's question. Are the firms with which the university would like to invest under this language, would they be given any sort of unfair competitive advantage in their investments with the University of Minnesota relative to others who are not investment recipient from the University of Minnesota?
Mr. Chairman, members, any investment firm that would like to come to the University of Minnesota and talk to us about opportunities to learn and understand the technology or the patents or the opportunities or the startups opportunities that we have, we welcome everyone. I don't feel that would be a competitive advantage for these firms.
And Mr. Fitzenreiter, if Joe Atkins came to you, well, I'm probably not a great example because I doubt that I'm sitting on $300 million, but some other entity that wants to partner with the U in moving a product or discovery forward, would they be entitled to the same sort of, you'd share the same information with them that you would share with one of the VC firms or other investment organizations that you would be partnering with in terms of your investments? Is that fair?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, absolutely, yes.
And, Senator Olson, you had a question or comment?
Mr. Chair, I was going to say, first I would like to say thank you to Senator Sparks, to you and to the other House members for being willing to take the time to focus and have some discussion about these data practices matters. We had a lot of discussion in data practices, and we're hoping to take, the conference, these issues with the data practice conference committee, but because that bill wasn't heard on the floor, we really appreciate your accommodating something like this that you haven't heard about before. I've personally been very ambivalent about this because I understand the arguments on both sides, but I'm sure we'll hear, from someone here who might not like this. A couple more points on the side of the university I thought I should raise is the fact that there are the trustees will have this information and be held accountable to any other legislation that we might pass. So if we prohibited specific kinds of investments, for example, the trustees will know where this money is going, is my understanding, and would be held accountable for enforcing any of those kinds of parameters that we would put in place. And then I thought maybe also we might want to hear a little bit about how these funds have performed in the past and the amount of money that might potentially be at stake for the university.
Mr. Fitzgerald?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, as I said earlier, our portfolio, like everyone's, has dropped from a little over $1.1 billion down to about $855 million today. And in the range of 30 to 40% of our portfolio is invested in these type of investments. It fluctuates between 30 and 40%. And that, on average, as I said earlier, returns for us in the neighborhood of 30%. I'd put a range of 25 to 30% return on that part of our portfolio. So this is a very important and lucrative investment opportunity for the University of Minnesota, and one that is important to our overall strategy to return on the endowment.
Senator Olson, any follow-up to that?
No, Mr. Chair, I just thought that was probably a part of it I remembered hearing before that I thought you should probably hear, and I think that's why it's hard for me, and I've been kind of ambivalent about this, because on the one hand, I'm usually a very strong supporter whenever agencies come to say they want things to be kept public, not doing that. But on the other hand, in a situation like we have today where we're seeing so many cuts, and also hearing that in the past, really, they've never had public inquiries for this information, but really the only times they've had inquiries, it's been from competitors using this information that would normally, you know, if it weren't a public body, would normally not be disclosable, and kind of used it against them to their competitive disadvantage. So it's a very complicated issue, and it's easy to see why, you know, there are feelings on both sides of this. But I do understand that this is very important to the university.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Senator Sparks.
Mr. Chair, I just want to thank you as well. I know that we've had some ongoing discussions, and this was supposed to be a Department of Commerce housekeeping bill that obviously has grown. 8 amendments were added on the Senate floor, and I appreciate you taking time and willingness to visit with us. And again, I believe this is very important. I think that it's a good thing that we're having this discussion here. Obviously, I brought my data practices experts with me because we're focusing on the Department of Commerce issues. You're right. But I just want to thank you, and I think that together we can work together, and I think we're going to put together a pretty good bill here in a few minutes.
Thank you, Senator Sparks. Mr. Fitzschneider, what Senator Olson indicated, trustees will have the information, also be required to enforce whatever restrictions, be it the legislature or any of the board, were to put on them. I assume that's the case. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that's correct.
One final question that I have for you, and then I want to hear from others that may have a concern about this, but how much of this reaches, you talked about the returns. What difference does this make to a typical University of Minnesota student, or what difference does it make in the classroom? Where do the returns go? Yeah. Does it make an actual difference to kids?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, there is, I don't have off the top of my head how much of this money is particularly targeted scholarships. You need to understand that the money we're investing on the university side, and all new gifts are actually receipted now, and donations are receipted at the University of Minnesota Foundation, which is a separate entity. The money that comes, that we're talking about here, is really the legacy PUF, Permanent University Fund endowment, lands, minerals that come to the university. And I just got the sheet here. About 20% of this endowment is for student aid. 25% of it goes to items related to instruction in the classroom. And then about 30%, 35% of it is research related, which is and that particular research is target a lot at the medical school. It's just, again, who happens to have owned, or owned isn't the right word, but where the original endowments were set up. So this is really legacy money, not new endowment proceeds that we're talking about here, long-standing endowments.
Thank you, Mr. Fitzschneider. Any other members of the conference committee have any questions or concerns for Mr. Fitzschneider? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Iverson, thank you for your delivery. It's amazing the information you have at your fingertips, isn't it? Mr. Neumeister, you asked earlier that you'd be able to be heard on this particular topic as well.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to hand out some suggested language as a possibility for the conference report. I don't know who I may hand it out to. And then also, I was only able to get a couple copies, but there are some states that have dealt with this issue. And I'll give two to each side. One is what California, or one on each side. California and Texas language. The Senate is more familiar with it. This is the big question, Mr. Chairman, members of the conference committee. Are we going to have the University of Minnesota that wants to invest, as much as I know, $400 million, I've heard different figures, but at least it's $400 million in private equity for possible lucrative profits, you know, which it might be of a part of the public interest, but make it so, or make it such in a way secret, that the non-disclosure protects the public from finding out, or does not allow the public to find out, what the bad or risky investments are, if there's possible corruption, mismanagement, or even conflicts of interest. Mr. Chairman, what I handed out to you are like with the state of Texas and in California. And I'll just give you an example, and then that will go to the suggested language that I'm suggesting. Out in California in 2005, there was a big public interest to find out how CalPERS and other folks, where they invest money, who's getting what and things like that. And one of the big things that they found out after the suit was done by the court is that a number of these investment private equity firms were getting a lot of money in their fees, management fees or whatever, for sometimes no investment, a little investment, or a big investment. So I'll just give an example. If the University of Minnesota invested maybe $5 million in one of these investments, let's say they got no return, they may have to pay a $300,000 management fee or to process whatever the investments or whatever. We would never know that. And the thing is, I think there is some public accountability or interest in that issue. So what happened, the state of California adopted what you have in front of you on both sides. The same situation happened in Texas, again, in the mid, just a few years ago. UTEMCO, which is the University of Texas Management organization that manages the University of Texas investments. Those were some similar kinds of issues. So what the legislature did was basically make a lot of stuff public. So, yes, Sequoia, Kleiner, Perkins, Charles Rivers, some of those organizations may or may not no longer invest at the University of California and CalPERS and UTEMCO. But if you look at the overall literature, some of the folks that used to be involved in some of those big firms now are leaving and doing their own firms. And California and Texas are still getting along okay. And if you have a chance, go to the University of California or the CalPERS website, and you'll see it all in public according to the California law. Now, what this gets down to is two suggestions that I'm making to the conference report. And if you take a look at the language, at the university language, or what is now on page 56, and you've got to remember, Mr. Chairman and members of the conference committee, this is overall kind of information. So what you're going to get back is basically not a lot of information based on the individual investment companies. It's just overall interest. So if you go on page 56, lines, there's no lines here, but it's where the subdivision 3, and if you look at parentheses 3, and what I'm looking at is the conference committee report. It says quarterly reports, which outline the aggregate stuff. What I'm interested to do is take out and the fees and expenses paid. That's the concept I'm trying to get to. And then to adopt that number one section that I'm suggesting to you, what I handed to you, where it says the total amount of fees, including expenses, charges, and other compensation assessed against the University of Minnesota, which this would do, it would separate it from the aggregate. So what you'll be able to find out is what are you paying these investment firms money, could be $500 million or $500,000, a million, who knows, $250,000. I think that's important to know that. Texas have adopted, and language is somewhat modified, I think, from the Texas language here, and California has those provisions. Mr. Chairman, the second item, and in discussion at least, and the university folks can for themselves, I've suggested whatever the university's percentage ownership in a particular fund or investment entity should also be public. It's 5%, 6%. You've got to remember, Mr. Chairman, members of the conference committee, this is not just development of a possible whatever it might be. It's also into real estate and other kinds of holdings. The third item, and this is just something that, again, sometimes when you review language again, it might be an important element, because when the gentleman, the treasurer of the university, brought this up, when he said a billion, and he suggested that this law covers, the proposal covers $1 billion, then I think about what does this do? And sometimes in data practices, a proposed law will swallow up some other aspects of law, and this is where the question I have on page 55 of this section. When they have financial, business, or proprietary data, means data is determined by the responsible authority for the University of Minnesota, it's on in the bottom line, that is of financial, business, or proprietary nature, the release of which would cause harm to the University of Minnesota. From my point of view, yes, that is Board of Investment language, but the Board of Investment is quite different than the University of Minnesota, because the University of Minnesota deals more broadly in financial or proprietary kinds of things. So if this language is only going to be for private equity type firms, then it should, I think, specifically be clear about that. I'm just raising the question about that broad kind of language there. So, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, without going into a lot of details, and even some of the comments that I can't say his last name appropriately, but the treasurer from the University of Minnesota indicated, there was almost 2 hours of testimony on the Senate side on this. And the Senate did due diligence, led by Senator Olson, Senator Moi, Senator Betzolt, and other folks. And some of the things I've heard contradictory from what was said about the role of the University of Minnesota, kinds of regents, how they play a role for Mr. Mason. So I'm just saying you don't have that time to do that, but I think what I'm offering as a suggestion with some possible language and clarification of that third point, I think at least with a lot of the House members, which I haven't not talked individually about this, what I've proposed, but I know that there's a healthy skepticism. You want to make sure things are more public, and I think these are things that could be addressed and would be no harm to what the University of Minnesota wants to do.
Thank you for your comments. We appreciate it. Mr. Fitzenreiter, we'll give you an opportunity for a quick rebuttal on this particular topic. Then we're going to move on to the business screening issue so we get some testimony with respect to that. By the way, I've heard people call him Fitz that can't pronounce his last name.
Well, we know each other for years.
And he doesn't usually leap out and punch at people if you call him that. So, Mr. Fitzenreiter, welcome back. Your reaction to that language proposal?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I think there were three provisions, and I think provision one and provision three would not be helpful, and provision two, that I think he referenced the percentage of the, I don't have the language.
We're bringing it to you.
The university's percentage ownership would be acceptable and not cause us, we believe, not cause us to limit our opportunities, but we think the rest would be harmful to what we're trying to accomplish.
Thank you, Mr. Fitzenreiter. Other comments from members of the committee? Other questions relative to this topic? All right. Thank you, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to give you the kind of the full history of this as it went through the Senate, we did have lengthy conversations about this, And I'm just wondering, since the Senate position at this point is to accept this language and that this is in your proposal, and maybe, you know, if the University of Minnesota has no objection to Mr. Neumeister's provision too, we didn't see that or consider it, but mm-hmm. but if the university thinks that would be helpful, I certainly don't see why we couldn't do that. But I think that if there are concerns, if we can allow the university to make sure that they can protect their interest in this, I could certainly commit that next year, if we need to do any fine-tuning of this or revisit this as it goes forward, with people who really understand how these financial investments work, which I have to admit that's not my area of expertise, and if there is any further refining, we would certainly be happy to look at that.
Thank you, Senator. Unless there's anything further on that topic, and I'd like to do possibly, folks, if we can, is perhaps circle back when we have our heads around all these issues. We may well be able to take it all in a single motion relative to the unless I really messed up my understanding of what people's hopes were with regard to the proposed conference committee report. But there was one other issue that I know that there was some concern or questions anyway, and that was on the business screening. Issue, and we fortunately have Senator Betzel. I should have acknowledged the two of you before, Senator Betzel and Representative Holberg. If you guys could give me your sense on what we ought to do here, what I have proposed is, and Senator Olson actually said it very, very well at the beginning, is that I have some anxiety about becoming the Data Practices Committee, and I don't want to get my toe in the water that you guys swim in, but I understand that that was really it's the last day of session.
Yeah, 11 hours.
Thankfully, the folks with the camera left.
Yeah.
But what I've suggested in the proposed conference committee report was to push off the enactment date for a year, and to the extent you folks want to keep working on it, you keep working on it and figure out what should happen. But I would be very welcoming of any suggestions or guidance that you could provide for us on what you think we ought to do.
Mr. Chair, Senator members of the conference committee, I'm Senator Don Betzel. Yes, that's fine with me. It's a complicated issue. We've spent quite a bit of time in the Data Practices Subcommittee and the full Judiciary Committee, even on the floor, discussing this. And while the Senate has taken its position with the hours left, I don't think that the House really, you know, can do justice to it to vet the issues, you know, in a floor debate. So it just seems sensible to me if you just want to extend it. It's on the books right now, as you may be aware, members. And just briefly to describe what the issue is, this deals with organizations that collect information and data on people and then sell it, send it out. We want them to get it right. We want to have them a correction, means of correction. We also don't want to unnecessarily penalize organizations that do it that make honest mistakes. But as I say, it probably deserves more discussion in the House than you can give it to today. So although the law is on the books right now and it is scheduled to go into effect on July 1st of 2009, I don't see any harm of being done in just pushing it out one more year, if that's the will of the conference committee.
Thank you, Senator. And Representative Holberg, and then we'll go to Senator Olson. And
thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Mary Liz Holberg, for the record. First of all, I need to say I share Senator Olson's frustration. We now have data practices issues and a number of conference committee reports flying around here in the last day, and for somebody that cares about those issues, it's pretty dangerous, actually. It's my understanding that the language that passed the Senate floor was not a language that was agreed upon by the parties that have been working on this issue for 2 years now, basically, and so I'd be very uncomfortable with this process in adopting that language. I share Senator Betzel's support of changing the enactment date back another year and allowing a process that everybody can participate in to come to some kind of resolution rather than what we have a result of the process here.
Thank you, Representative Holberg. Senator Olson, and then Senator Moore.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll try to keep this short because I couldn't possibly go back and start providing you, nor would you want to hear all the testimony we heard about this whole issue. But the concern I have is that this is something that's impacting people's lives right now. I mean, this information is being sold, and we've been working on this now for a couple of years, trying to make sure that the information has to be re-verified as it goes out so that we know that it's as up-to-date as possible. We had a long committee hearing about this. We kind of pushed it out, tried to give the parties an opportunity to work on an agreement, did get what we thought was an agreement, a compromise. We changed the 30-day, not having to update every 30 days to 90 days. And then there was a provision about whether it had to involve just Minnesota data or data from all states. We really didn't have a chance to talk about that in committee. It got overlooked, so on the floor we had the discussion. It was a close vote, but we decided to make sure that it had to include all states. So that's the change that Representative Holberg is talking about. There was a different, you know, this was also vetted on the House side, and there you have kind of a different approach to it in your language that's in the data practices bill on the House side, which, you know, we would have tried to bring together in conference committee. And so if this is the will of the committee to put this out for another year, I just want to be able to say on the record that then what will happen is, if we do nothing next year, is that the law that we passed, the House and the Senate passed a year ago, will go into effect. And if we're going to just keep trying to back away from what we passed 2 years ago by pushing this out another year, my preference is going to be just to let the law we passed to begin with go into effect.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Senator Moore. Thank you. Are there other comments or questions from members of the conference committee? Is there anyone else? I hate to always ask that question. Is there any? Mr. Neumeister, you want to have a couple brief make a couple brief comments with respect to it. I think you shared Senator Olson's concern about the enactment date being pushed off for yet another year.
Mr. Chairman, members of the conference committee, for the record, my name is Rich Neumeister. I know how important this kind of legislation is. For the decades that I've been here, I've worked on many of these kinds of things, consumer laws that deal with information. This is one of the only, there have been two or three bills that have had this extension of date kind of thing. You've had the Internet Privacy Bill, which I worked on with now Governor Pawlenty and Senator Kelly. The Social Security Bill, which I'm sure some people may have remembered from last year, and now this bill that deals with things. You can only go for it for so long. It will be the fourth year next year. I'm the person that believes that the Senate language currently now is the best approach. Now, one of the things that I encourage, if you as conference committee members are going to go for another year, parties may agree, but there's a lot of people who are not part of parties sometimes, who can see different things from different views. And, you know, when deals are struck, sometimes they're not struck in the interest of the citizens of Minnesota, from my perspective, Mr. Chairman and member of the conference committee. So as we go forward on this kind of thing, I think it's important for all parties, you know, and then to make sure other folks, you know, but, we, you know, things can happen, and hopefully it will be a very kind of deliberative process. And I know that on the House side, historically, some of these, well, how this became law was a goofy kind of way anyways. Last year, ended up in a conference report. And then the House side agreed to the Senate. And now sort of like a similar kind of thing again. So, Mr. Chairman, members of the conference committee, my point of view is to let the Senate side become law, but I don't see the votes there for that perspective. So hopefully we'll take another crack, those people, citizens, and the parties. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Neumeister. And are there, Senator Betzold, Representative Holberg, if you have any additional comments relative to that, otherwise we love having you here as a resource. I will give you my point of view on this, which is I am very leery about and have a deep amount of anxiety about going any further than just simply moving off the enactment date. I understand, Senator, Senator Olson, as well as Mr. Neumeister's concerns, but I do not want this group to turn into, and Mr. Meister just made the point about this is how, I don't want to do that here. The U of M language is somewhat of an exception because it sounds like there might be some coming together with respect to that, and I'd suggest that we give some thought to some of Mr. Neumeister's language relative to that. But this is one of those issues that you really have to know what the heck you're doing. And at least those of us on behalf of the Commerce Department's technical bill, this isn't our baby. So, Representative Holberg or Senator Betzold, any other comments that you?
We have another Senator issue, Betzold. Mr. Chair, but I just want to point out that former Chief Justice Kathleen Blatz, you know, former member of the House, did serve on the Data Practices Subcommittee when she was in the House of Representatives, and she said it's the closest thing to a cult she's ever been part of.
I rest my case. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Senator Betzold. All
right. Chair, members, there is one other issue.
Yes, Senator Betzold.
11, definition of a motor vehicle. I carried the bill in the Senate, and Representative Holberg carried it in the House, and this was actually correcting a matter that was in the 2005 data practices bill that actually Senator Skoglund carried, but I was part of that conference committee. I don't recall it being in the Senate bill when it left the Senate, in the Senate Senator Sparks' bill. I'm not sure if it was in the House as well. And if this is a new issue that was not either in either bill, I'm quite uncomfortable with having it put into this particular conference committee report.
Representative Holberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I wasn't aware that it was going to be included here today, and certainly the schedule and the pace, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, but actually I think another point that needs to be made is that the language, from my understanding, is not exactly the language that passed the House, but there's a different enactment date issue, so I don't think that language has passed either body. I don't know what your time frame here is with closing up this conference committee report. I've been working with the Truckers Association, the insurance people. In fact, I brought language to Mr. Pender before this committee even started, not knowing that it was actually in here till I saw this summary sheet. But if this conference committee is going to be open for a while, I at least would like the opportunity to try and work on this issue a little bit more, check out what the floor schedule looks like in the House as far as bringing up the House file on the floor and dealing with it that way. But certainly it's your bill and your committee, and any advice you could give me would be appreciated.
I appreciate that, and it was actually, I put it in there. I shared it with Senator Sparks. It wasn't, and that's why I put out the conference committee, proposed conference committee report ahead of time and have shared it so everybody could see it. I do apologize to both of you because it was my understanding that the concept had been shared, and I'm going to follow up about how it did not apparently get shared with the two of you. But nonetheless, it's my responsibility. I apologize for your not being aware of it. And I just wrote that to you in the note as well.
I think we have to take the Joint Rule 2.06 quite seriously because none of us have the authority to waive that rule. And it says that if it's in neither bill, it doesn't show up in a conference committee report. So you can't just take something that's out there, even if one body's passed it, and just adopt it as part of the conference committee. And that's apparently what the proposal is here. So I would call your attention to that rule.
And Senator Betzold, I appreciate that. We also have, we have language that Mr. Neumeister has proposed that's not in either bill either.
Well, no, Mr.
But aside from that, what I'd suggest that we do is that it was my understanding, by the way, that language, that there was some degree of comfort with respect to it. Frankly, the concern that I had was that we've got it on the calendar for the day, but we don't know what all bills were coming up. It's passed the Senate. They're apparently, at least I've been told, that there's comfort with respect to it from the folks that care about that inadvertent change that was made in 2005. So I placed it here, visited with Senator Sparks, wanted to make sure that we got the conference committee proposed report out ahead of time, and I'd just suggest that we give some folks a little bit of time to think about that. And I am, what I have heard, and that's why I'd recommend at this point that we not close the conference committee yet until people get a chance to think about it, consider it, make sure that they're completely comfortable with it. And if they're not, they're not. We'll share that. But what I have, just to kind of wrap where we're at right now, is my sense is that there's relative comfort with the proposed conference report as it is, with the exception of this particular issue that was just raised. And then Mr. Neumeister had some proposed language that I think people should get a chance to give some thought to and possibly make that part of the bill. It sounded like at least the university had some comfort with, albeit not all of it, but a portion at least of Mr. Neumeister's proposal. Senator Moore?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The University of Minnesota provision was my bill, and so I'm glad that you're considering including it here. And being the author of that provision, I'd rather we just keep the language that was on the conference committee. If we need to revisit aspects of it, we can bring it as a separate bill come next session. I'd be willing to carry all of those provisions as a separate bill come next session. But I think that being where we're at, I would prefer that we just keep the language that's in the conference committee process.
Okay. And Senator Moore, on that point, the second item that Mr. Neumeister presented, which I believe was regarding the university's percentage ownership interest in the fund, even with the U's comfort with that particular piece, you'd prefer to go with the language that's been proposed and gone through the process and been vetted in front of committees that actually have something to do with data privacy?
I would, Mr. Chair.
I think I just made your case for you, but all right. I appreciate that. I think what we'll do then is recess at this point. Representative Holberg, Senator Betzold, an hour, 2 hours?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Sparks.
I just want to thank you and the conferees. I think we've done some good work going into this. I know that this Section 11 maybe causes a little heartburn. It's my understanding that Senator Betzold did pass that as a standalone bill. We can continue to have discussions. I just want to make sure, though, that I think the Senate's due to go back in at 3 o'clock. I'm not sure of the House.
And
so
Senate,
we have roughly.
Yeah, we just keep meeting all day long.
Maybe you guys can, but I know we have 10 hours left. I
mean, we actually have to be in our seats when we vote, so.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I think that's fine.
What are you saying? A
we
lot
can
of us,
recess, but
we just have particularly long arms.
Right. But maybe an hour or so.
Well, and it's my understanding we've got the room till 3. So if we were to recess till say 2:30, and give folks a chance to talk about it a little bit, and then we'll and that way we should be done and out of here by 3 o'clock. And you can leave your stuff in here too. Yes, Senator Ma.
Mr. Chair, since we've addressed all the provisions, can we at least just vote all of that, and the only thing we will come back to decide on will be number 11, depending on the conversations that I take.
Thank you. I appreciate that point of view. There's actually a couple things that I want to follow up on with my members relative to some of the use, the question or the answers that we got to those questions. This gives me a great opportunity to go find a couple members and come back with even a little bit more comfort level. So if that's all right, Senator Representative Zellers.
Mr. Chair, we're talking about primary seatbelts. I don't think we've actually taken a vote for probably a better part of all the time.
That's an excellent point, Representative Zeller.
But, Mr. Chair, and I'm not sure how I advocate for the House to position on the data privacy when we're talking about the commerce provisions, but I did want to just bring up the business, item 14, because I think the House has taken a position on it. I do think, again, not wanting to even get near the pool on this issue is important, but I know the amount of time sitting on the floor next to Representative Holberg, I know the amount of time and effort that's been put into this. So just to put on the record, in favor of the House position on the business regulation, business screening, it's just as a House conferee.
Thank you, Representative Zellers. All right, folks, with that, we stand recessed until 2:30.
Okay. See you out there. See you soon.
Yeah, well, why don't we go with